welcome to Women's World, the only TV show where women's issues are put first every time. If it's in the news and it matters to you, then we're talking about it here. My name is Yvonne Ridley.
And my name is Dr. Salia Hassan. Today's show goes to the very heart of a subject which is taboo in some communities and rarely discussed in others.
But today we have decided to peel back the secrecy surrounding domestic violence. It's a global issue, but soaring figures of abuse in Britain and across Europe are causing greater concern than usual.
Celebrities like Hollywood star Keira Knightley and British newscaster Fiona Bruce have given their support to a recent publicity campaign.
So before we talk to today's guests, let's watch this hard-hitting report by Nina Arif, who went to visit Newham Action Against Domestic Violence in East London.
Recent figures suggest domestic violence is on the increase. One in four women are likely to be victims of domestic abuse at some point in their lives. So what are the causes behind the recent rise in reported cases? And is everything that can be done being done to protect women from violent relationships? We're here in East London to meet Jane Ismail. She's the director of a group called Newham Action Against Domestic Violence, a support group which protects victims of abuse. Jane, has there been an increase or decrease in the number of domestic violence cases recently?
I've noticed a huge increase. I've noticed it, particularly in Newham, where we're based. I looked at a sample of clients coming in from 2010 in July, and it was 66 new clients. I looked at this year, 2011, at the same period, July, and it was 110. So that's quite a huge increase.
Are there any external factors that affect the chances of domestic violence, for example, poverty?
They do say that in a household that has less than £20,000 a year, there are increased domestic violence incidents. So that is one statistic. But I think it's right across the board. It's all races, all creeds, all incomes.
Please, I didn't agree to this.
Is enough done to protect women, do you feel?
No, I don't. I think that, you know, with regards to funding, it's always very difficult to obtain funding to provide a service to women. But it's not just women, it's women, you know, children experience it as well.
Do you think domestic violence gets the right level of publicity?
There's lots of campaigns, but they're very short-lived, so, and then it's lost again.
How easy is it to obtain statistics on domestic violence?
The police will have their statistics of what, how many incidents they've been called out to, but on the other side of that, we've got statistics to show that how many people come into us on a voluntary basis. Adding up those referrals as well, there's a huge difference.
What are some of the most important statistics that we do have?
Well, as I said, it's one in four women that experience domestic violence within their lifetime. It's also the cycle of abuse that's a problem as well. So there's a vast majority of children out there that are witnessing some form of abuse or being abused themselves.
What are your thoughts on the proposed scheme to compile a database of domestic abuse offenders?
I think that's going down a very, very dangerous road. I've been working in Newham for a long time, so I do come across victims that where I recognise the perpetrator's name. So it's not the first time he's done it, or the second, or the third. But overall, generally, they're quite violent men. So they're not just violent with the victim, they're violent outside as well. They are quite violent. Mistakes can be made. So sometimes the police are called out to an incident of domestic violence, and it's not always the case. So you do have to tread very, very carefully having that on an open public database.
The problem of domestic violence is clearly a very real one, which needs to come out of the shadows and into the open if we're to deal with the devastating consequences on the families. So what can be done to stop this trend in our society? Reporting for Women's World, I'm Nina Arif.
Thank you, Nina. Well, today we're joined by Dr. Claudia Bernard from Goldsmiths College, London University, who has worked on issues of violence against women and children for a number of years, publishing many articles on the subject.
And sitting next to Claudia is John Mays from the charity called Parity. John, I was a little surprised to see you sitting on our sofa today because people get the impression that domestic violence is about female victims. Can you tell me a little bit about your organisation?
Well, yes, thank you very much for the chance. It is a surprise to me as well, but a very pleasant surprise to be here. The reality of domestic violence is not, as it is often perceived, a female victim and male perpetrator. Of course, there are many, many cases of that nature, but there are also many cases, roughly 37-40% of the total number of domestic violence incidents in the United Kingdom are where the perpetrator is the lady and the victim is the man.
Why aren't we hearing about this? I know it's a taboo subject anyway, but those statistics are quite shocking.
They are, and they've not received perhaps the publicity that they deserve. They are derived from the British crime statistics, which are collected by the Home Office, and they're replicated in many parts of the English-speaking world, e.g. Australia, for instance, New Zealand and the United States and Ireland. And curiously enough, in Scotland, the incidence of female violence in these situations is higher than it is in England. I can't give you an explanation for that. It may be for peculiar reasons, but that is nonetheless a fact.
Dr. Bernard, so does your work cross over into this area, or do you mainly just only deal with women and children?
Most of the work I've done has been specifically just looking at the issue as it impacts women and as it impacts children's lives. And whilst there is no denying that domestic violence cuts across class and race and gender, and it happens in same-sex relationship, but I think there are different debates about to the extent as to whether or not it's as big a problem as it's thought to be in terms of what some of the data is telling us. And also in terms of just thinking about the context of the violence, to get a sense really as to whether or not often in the sorts of situations that John has described, whether or not women are instigating the violence or whether women are fighting back.
Can I just ask, for both of you, is there any change in patterns? Are we seeing a decrease or an increase? Where are we?
In the total number of incidents of domestic violence?
Yeah.
There seems to be some evidence that it has increased over the last few years. But then economic conditions have also decreased in the sense that there's more deprivation now than perhaps there was before 2007. And there's some evidence to show that deprivation does influence an increase in domestic and indeed in other sorts of violence.
So are you seeing an increase at the moment, Claudia, because of we're in the middle of a recession? Austerity is the buzzword. We did a recent show about divorce, which said that money was the cause of many marital breakups. What is the cause of this violence?
I think probably part of what's seen as an increase is probably more people are talking about it, and more people are bringing it to the attention of different agencies. But I think we can see some different areas where it is now being explored. For example, a recent piece of research looked at the increase in domestic violence in military families when men came back from Iraq or Afghanistan, saw an increase in domestic violence. So I think there are some specific areas where it's now being sort of opened up more for scrutiny.
Why would they be more violent having come out of a war situation? You'd think that the last thing that they would want is more conflict.
And I think in the US there's been a lot more research around that to look at the causes. I think in the British context, it's only now just being identified as a possible problem. But I think I wanted to say also in relation to young people, teenagers and adolescents in particular, increasingly we've seen more attention is being given to that because that is emerging as a major problem in terms of teenage relationships.
And John, I just wanted to ask in terms of going back to something that Yvonne was asking, why we don't know more about men suffering domestic violence. There's a bit of a stigma, isn't there,
yes,
about coming forward, how much yes, of an issue is that?
I mean, there's evidence. The evidence is that domestic violence in general is heavily underreported, but there's even more evidence to suggest that domestic violence, when it's the female being the perpetrator, being the violent person, is even more underreported. And they're very good reasons. They may not be good reasons, but there are very evident reasons why this is so. It culturally, no man really likes to go and report to somebody else that he's been attacked by his partner. It's culturally against his ethos. It's the way, not
is
the way he's been brought up.
Is it global or is
either.
It a Western phenomenon?
I'm sorry?
Is it a global issue or is it a Western phenomenon?
Well, as I say, it's replicated in the English-speaking world. I don't have evidence from other parts of the world, e.g., the Middle East or Asia. I've no reason to believe that the sort of things that happen in the West don't also happen there. It would be very odd if that was not true. But you can see a pattern in, and I mentioned the countries already, New Zealand, Australia, Ireland, and the United States, of the same sort of things happening.
Now, we'll be going to have a look at what the general public say in a minute, Claudia, but there are politicians who want violent men put on a register in the same way as paedophiles are put on a register. Do you think that that's appropriate?
Well, I think certainly it needs to be considered because I think finding mechanisms to deal with a persistent problem and is important. And I think we need to be able to, women need to be able to be protected in relation to when they're getting into new relationships, which makes them vulnerable in
particular. So they'd be able to check this register and see if a potential partner or someone that they're about to get married to is on this register. But it's, it's a stain for life, isn't
it? Yeah, once you're on it, you're on it. And even if you've been on it and then you're, for good behaviour, you're removed from it, but, you know, that's not going to do well for your CV, really, is it?
No, but it's the same as any crime, isn't it? Once you've committed a crime, it's there, and, you know, I think certainly it's something that needs to be explored and thought
about. And what about women, then? Because the same will be in terms of your
exactly, in any sort of just reaction to this, it would have to be both sexes. I have to say, I personally don't think that would be very much protection for anybody. I think it would be a huge bureaucratic task to put people on these sort of registers.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Well, we've had a lively discussion in the studio, but what did the general public tell Nina Arif when she went to get their views?
How big a problem do you think domestic violence is in the UK?
There are so many problems in the UK at the moment, but I think domestic violence is definitely up there with one of them.
It's probably one of the biggest problems in our civilization. I mean, you're meant to be able to seek refuge and peace at your own home.
You do hear some very bad things on the news that high percentages of people are actually involved in domestic violence. Their relationships involve domestic violence.
A lot of people cover it up because they're embarrassed or ashamed. But I wish they would speak out so that more people could be protected.
Do you think enough's being done to stop domestic violence?
I think there's always room for improvement. I think there's always more that could be done.
I mean, again, I think you'd have to look at the statistics and kind of balance it up against other social problems that exist in the UK.
I think people need to feel that they can always turn to someone, that the police are willing to help them, that they will listen. If people say anything, that they feel that they're going to be protected as witnesses, there's enough witness protection.
You can't really regulate against it. The police are always being called to domestic abuse cases and then nothing happens. Maybe they remove the man and then he goes back there.
If you think about it, what can you do to prevent it? It's domestic, it's in the household. You can't go around every house every month and go, are you beating your wife? Are you hitting your kids?
What do you think about the government's proposed plan to compile a public register of domestic violence offenders?
I think that would be good, but also obviously it would mean that there's no room to change.
I think that's be a good idea. I think that'll be a positive idea, definitely.
I'd like to know if a man that I was becoming involved with in a relationship did have a violent past.
If someone, a man, makes a mistake and does domestic violence and then realises the horror of what he's done, asks for forgiveness and reforms his character, I don't think he should be on the list for the rest of his life.
Claudia, I mean, some of those responses were fairly predictable, but there was one man there who was very concerned about the register we were talking about earlier. Is violence curable? I mean, do people overcome it with anger management courses, or are they, you know, if it's in a gene, is it there for life?
Some in relation to whether anger management will be able to resolve some of the problems. For some people it does, and for some people maybe it doesn't. The research evidence shows that with violence prevention programs for perpetrators, sometimes the physical violence may stop, but the emotional violence and other forms of ways of being abusive may continue in a more intensive way. So I don't necessarily think that having a register is going to solve the problem, because clearly quite a lot of women don't report their experiences of domestic violence.
What do you mean by mental sort of torture as opposed to physical violence?
The sort of controlling aspects that could be a part of domestic violence, in terms of controlling the finances, for example, still controlling women's movements, etc., and the verbal abuse that can be part of domestic violence, the put-downs, the undermining, those kinds of things can continue after the physical violence stops.
I mean, you know, Sally, when you're not presenting Women's World, you're working in hospitals and surgeries, patching up people, often victims of violence. Do you not feel anger when you get a victim coming in?
I think we feel frustrated. I think there's a sense of wanting to be able to ensure that the victim will be supported when they've left us, in terms of the treatment that we give. So we're really keen to make sure that the patients are followed through. So I just wonder if you've come across any kind of initiatives or projects that begin with a victim of violence right from when they've attended A&E, for example.
Women's Aid and the Women's Refuge is an obvious agency that could work with women in the short term at a crisis point, in the medium term and the long term. And those agencies and the work they do are critical to supporting women, particularly women who don't often come to the attention of any kind of agencies.
But how do you stop the cycle of violence? Do you say to a woman, get out, which often isn't that easy if they have children?
Well, you have to think very carefully about advising women to leave, because again, the research shows that can be the most dangerous time for women. Most of the women who are killed after they've left or in the process of leaving. So that's where I think Women's Refuge are very skilled and have got very good knowledge and experience of working with women around those complex areas, and particularly women who may not have English as their first language, women who have a range of complexities which influences the sort of choices they can make.
John, what did you
say? Well, I was going to say one of the problems for men who are victims in these circumstances is that there are very few places for them to go. We did a survey which suggested that there are probably less than 90 places, refuge places or similar, for men, as against the 7,000 plus that there are for women. So for a man who's in this dreadful situation, and his children who are in this dreadful situation, leaving the house is a disaster, because particularly if he doesn't have very much money, what's he going to do?
What sort
go
of violence are the men subjected to?
What sort of violence? Well, the violence can be anything from a slap in the face. Of course, you get a lot of verbal violence with men against women. But you also get anything from a slap in the face to a blow. The roughly 25% of those men who have been affected are severely affected physically. In other words, it's something equivalent to what I think is known as GBH, grievous bodily harm.
And are there particular, you know, can you categorise the groups or the kinds of people that might be affected, the men that are affected, or is it across the board?
It's across the board. There is no, I have no evidence to say it's people in any particular quartile of the population, from the very well off to the very unwell off to the very poor. It doesn't seem to relate to your social or economic status. It relates to the relationship between the two people concerned.
And one thing that I just wanted to ask both of you, you stated figures and research done, but you know this is only if these people actually have come forward in the first place. So this might not actually.
It's underreported.
Yes.
Heavily underreported, both in terms of general domestic violence and in particular on the sort of things that I've been talking about, which is where the female is violent against her male partner. Heavily underreported.
You were saying that domestic violence crosses classes, cultures. Exactly. What about domestic violence on women? Is there a specific community or area or class, Claudia?
I think it goes across all classes and all groups. I think what is different is that the issues that women may be faced in terms of what choices they make will be very much influenced by their racial background, their cultural backgrounds, etc. That is a key factor, whether or not immigration is an issue.
And what about the abuse going through the family? Because quite often we hear that victims of abuse then go on to enter into abusive marriages. So children who see their parents physically violent with each other, are they in danger of not inheriting but following on from their parents?
I think some children would and some children won't. I think in the past it was thought that boys are more likely to become perpetrators and girls are more likely to become victims. But I think the research more recently is showing that, you know, it could be some boys could become victims, etc. And girls could become perpetrators. It's not inherently in the genes.
Could the government be doing more?
I think the government is. There are a number of policies in place, and the more recent policies around the strategy to deal with teenage in intimate relationship in the teenage years, and some of the educational work to be done in schools to help young people, boys and young women, to develop sort of healthy relationships, that to me, and raising attitudes and changing attitudes. I think those are key things to kind of change.
But there's no quick fix. You're not going to get this problem addressed and cured in a generation. You need time, you need 30 years, you need people to be educated, you need, as you said just now, very often violently brought up children, i.e. children brought up in a violent atmosphere, but for whatever reason, tend to be violent themselves.
Right.
And you don't change that in a generation. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort.
We've actually run out of time now, but I mean, just when we were getting going.
It's always the case, isn't it?
Yeah. So, sadly, we've come to the end of this week's Women's World, but we'll be back again next week with more stories, views, issues close to the women of this world.
And they're men, so it's goodbye from me, Yvonne Ridley, and Dr. Salia Hassan. Women's World will be back at the same time next week.